Amen. We just have a moment or two of prayer together before we come to the scriptures. Father, we ask thee to remember all of these little ones. Pray that you'll bless them. Thank you for their presence with us here in thy house. We thank, Father, for the work done today already in the Sunday school and Bible classes. We do praise thee, Father, for the opportunity to teach the children, the young people. We want to pray you'll add to this work. Lord, we do pray for the increase to be given. And we thank you, Father, for the birth of the little one in the Gardner home during the past week. This lovely little baby girl with which you've blessed them. Give Stephen and Laura the help, the wisdom and guidance needed for the days ahead. May your hand of blessing remain upon that home. We ask thee to remember Gary and Rebecca in this week ahead also. We think, Father, of their wedding day on Friday. We ask that it will be like that wedding in Cana of Galilee those many years ago. We pray that it will be a day and an occasion when the Lord himself is present. We ask that the nearness of the Saviour might be known by all. But we pray, Father, for your blessing to be upon this young couple as they set out in married life together. Give them thy help. And we pray, Father, that you'll provide for them just all that they require. We remember our brother Jim Cross at this time also. We think of the bereavement in the family circle. Pray you'll be near to Jim and comfort his heart. And we pray, Father, your hand would be upon Jim. You'll strengthen him and very speedily restore him again to health and strength. Lord, bless our time around thy word. We pray that it'll be a sweet time. We ask, Father, it might be like that occasion many years ago when Mary sat at the Saviour's feet and heard his word. Lord, we recognise no more blessed place to be than at the feet of Christ, no more important place when we want to be taught from the scriptures. And Lord, we ask that that might be our place even this day. Hear our cries as we offer them. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6, please. The verses 5 and 7, especially, of the portion we read together. Matthew 6, the 5th verse, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And then verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." We are setting aside our series today, particularly thinking of the day of prayer and the importance of such a day, how vital it is, men and women, that we give ourselves to prayer, first and foremost. Any work for God, it needs to be a work that's done in the place of prayer. We learn that in the book of Acts. It records to us the great exploits that were done for God by the New Testament church. But remember, the first place they went to was the prayer meeting. Any work for God begins in the prayer meeting of the church. And we have to admit today how easily and quickly we faint and give up as far as the prayer meetings of the church are concerned. Remember that the scriptures cover a great breadth of material or subjects in connection with the subject of prayer. Think of prayerlessness, how sad it is to witness that, to see that it's evident and abroad among Christians and the church at large. We thank the Lord that in the scriptures He also gives us a little help with regard to prayer. The example of God's servants, that's a help and an instruction. And we learn a little as well as we read the Word of God about where to pray, particularly when it comes to private prayer, and how important that can be too. But I want us to think a little today of how not to pray. There's much that is said, many messages that are brought on how to pray. And that is very important. It certainly has its place. But what the Saviour is teaching in the two verses we have taken today as our text is how not to pray. I want to stress that the Saviour is our great teacher. He is our great instructor. And that is especially true when it comes to this matter of prayer. His life and his example are vital to us, and they ought to be carefully studied. But the Saviour also teaches us about prayer by his ministry, his messages, his teachings, the sermons that he brought. And that's what the Lord Jesus is doing here in these verses that we've taken as our text today. These verses are part of his very famous Sermon on the Mount. And what the Lord Jesus is dealing with here in this section of the sermon is that all-important subject of prayer. I want to encourage you, read these verses again, study them carefully yourself in the quietness of your own home. And what we're going to do, and what the Lord is doing here, is we want to emphasize the negative part of the teaching of the Lord Jesus in this subject. In other words, what he tells us not to do when we come before him at the throne of grace. And that's important. If we do things in the place of prayer that come up before the Lord as something that is displeasing in his sight, we can be sure, men and women, our prayers will not be heard and our prayers will not be answered. You'll notice in the verse 5, he says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites." Isn't that almost like the wording of the commandments? Thou shalt not. And then in verse 7, he says, "When ye pray, use not vain repetitions." He's teaching us very plainly the things not to do when we pray. And keep in mind that the context of all of these verses is the context of prayer itself. In verse 9, he says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." So you'll see the contrast in the two. There's how not to pray, and after he's dealt with that, he then goes on to tell us how we ought to pray. So he's teaching us here about our public prayers. And remember, if there's a task that you're not very confident about, if there's something you're not very good at, someone else that's maybe a wee bit better at it, a wee bit more confident, they might come to you and say, "Don't do it like that." Well, that's really what the Saviour's saying to us here. Don't do it like that. Don't pray in that manner. He states two great faults, two great errors in particular, about prayer that are common among Christians. And we need to know them, brethren and sisters. We need to guard against them. We need to watch out for them, lest they creep into our prayer lives and creep into our prayer meetings. I'll mention them for you. The first is, don't pray like hypocrites. You see what he says there in verse 5. "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." It's interesting, if you go through the chapter, that you'll find the Saviour has much to say here about hypocrisy among God's people. He talks about the hypocrite in connection with fasting. down in verse 16, the hypocrite in connection with his giving in verse 2, and here in verse 5 it's with regard to the hypocrite and his praying. Now you think of it, Christians can be hypocrites. Christians at times do be hypocritical in the way they live and even in the way they serve the Lord. The reality, brethren and sisters, is there at times can be no greater and no bigger hypocrite than a Christian. Now, you think of it, take it in. A hypocrite when praying. A hypocrite when drawing near and addressing God at the throne of grace. Now, you just think of how solemn and how serious that matter is. You think of acting, playing the part. And remember, in essence, that's what hypocrisy is. Just acting. Just acting like a Christian. But there's no reality. You want to appear to be more spiritual. You want to look as if you're more pious than you really are. That, men and women, is hypocritical living. And that is hypocritical praying. There's no reality to your life and to the petitions that you bring. Notice that he talks about the place where the hypocrite prays. He says that it's the synagogues and the street corners. Now, you might ask, as you think of that, is it wrong to pray there? Is it wrong to pray in public? And the answer is no. He's not teaching that it's wrong for a Christian to pray in public places. He's not saying it's wrong to pray in a church service or an open-air meeting, or maybe if you're out for a meal, to give thanks at the table. The idea of what the Saviour is warning against here is that the hypocrite only prays in public. Now just take that in. The hypocrite only prays in the synagogue or in the street corner. They never pray in private, never pray at home, never pray in the closet. I wonder, my friend, is that true of you? Does that sum up your prayer life? You never pray in private. The only place that you ever pray is in public. Can I warn you this morning, and I'm conscious in sounding the warning, that I may put a lot of you off praying in the prayer meetings this afternoon, but the warning needs to be sounded nonetheless. And the warning, men and women, is no one should pray in public who doesn't pray privately. That, in essence, that is the very heart of hypocritical praying. And maybe what you need to do today, maybe what you need to do in these prayer meetings today, is to set your house in order. Isn't that what Isaiah said to Hezekiah? Set thine house in order. And maybe you need to set your spiritual life, your walk with God, your prayer life especially, need to sort it out and put it right through this day. I want you to see as well, not just the place where the hypocrite prays, but notice the motive of the hypocrite's prayer. It says in the text that they may be seen of men. Isn't that tragic, men and women? Want to be noticed. That's the only reason come to the meeting. The only reason take part in the meeting. So as to be seen. So as to be looked at. Love to have the attention of others. Want to be the centre of attention. You want to have the focus placed upon you and upon no one else. All that they do, the hypocrite, when they stand to pray, all that they do is just for show. It's just to get the attention. It's just for the outward, even in the church and in the church meetings. That sort of person, they just want a pat on the back. All they're after is the praise of man. That's the only reason to pray. It's not to get the ear of God or to pray down his blessing. Can I say to you this morning, you should encourage others in the work of God. Even what we did in the past week, the ministry of encouragement, it can be so much lacking in the life of the church to have the meeting and bring our brother and sister here just to encourage their hearts, strengthen their hands. We ought to encourage others. The book of Hebrews says we're to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, talking there about the day of the Lord's return. And the nearer that day comes, there's going to be greater need, greater cause, because of the difficult days, so much discouragement around in the work of God. There's going to be greater need to encourage one another. And we need to ponder that, brethren and sisters. We need to, as we think of each other, seek to have that ministry of encouragement among ourselves. And if a prayer that is offered blesses you, if it touches your heart, if it encourages you, say an amen to the prayer. That's a way to encourage and to recognize. Even tell the person that offered the prayer the blessing that you received from it. But what the Savior is teaching here is we need to guard against our motives in taking part in the meetings, and especially taking part in the prayer meetings. Never pray just for the praise. Never get up to take part in the meeting just so that people know that you're there and that they will all be thinking about you. That, men and women, is an abuse of prayer. And that is what the Savior says is the prayer of the hypocrite. I want you to see as well, he tells us something here about the length of the hypocrite's prayer. The hypocrite loves to offer long prayers. Can I stress to you, again, and keeping in mind we're going to give the day to prayer, take this upon your heart this morning. Remember that long prayers are for the private place, and the short prayers are for the public place. The sad thing is the hypocrite gets that the other way round. Long prayers in public, as was said, to be seen, and the short prayers in private. Now just consider that for a moment or two and ask yourself, do you pray longer publicly than you do privately? That's wrong, men and women. That's hypocritical. That's what the Savior is teaching. No one should pray longer publicly, no one, than they do in the private place of prayer. So the Savior's warning about hypocritical praying. Don't pray like this. Don't pray just to promote yourself. Guard against that type of motive, that type of praying. It's an abuse of the great privilege God gives to us at the throne of grace. The other that he says, how not to pray, and the alliteration is given in the passage. We don't have to go looking for it. We've been thinking about we're not to pray like the hypocrite. And then in verse 7 he says we're not to pray like the heathen. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. Heathen practices in the church. Heathen practices in the life of a Christian. Wouldn't you shudder at the very thought of it? The World Council of Churches, I read on one occasion in one of their meetings, they prayed for the spirit of the African rainforest. That, men and women, is the height of heathenism. And it took place in a so-called Christian meeting. It's terrible to think of it. And it's something that ought to be opposed clearly and strongly. But notice carefully in this portion the Savior teaches, there can the heathen practices in the Church of Christ. There can be heathen practices in the prayer meetings of the church, and even in the lives, the prayer lives especially, of some of God's people. And sometimes we engage in those heathen practices and we don't realize it. You ask this morning, what heathen practice? Well, vain repetition. Can I point out, repetition in prayer. I want to be clear about this, brethren and sisters. Repetition in prayer, or repeating of a request in prayer, is not wrong. It's not heathen. That's not what the Saviour is talking about. Do you remember Paul when he had the thorn in the flesh? It says that for this thing he besought the Lord thrice. He prayed over and over about the same thing, made the same request. Think of the words of the Saviour, or what it says about the Saviour. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, they're very clear and instructive. Prayed saying the same words. So he didn't even change the words. The petition that he had prayed before, he used exactly the same words or form of words when he made that request again. Repetition's not wrong. The scripture teaches we ought to persevere. When the Lord lays something upon your heart and you're making a request, you're bringing a petition, you ought to be consistent and persistent and persevere in bringing that request until the answer you receive. What the Saviour is condemning here is vain repetition. In other words, prayers that are just words. Just empty words. What could be called lip labour, because they don't go any deeper. They don't go any further than the lips. Do you remember the Saviour spoke of those drawing nigh with our lips, while our hearts are far away from Him? That, men and women, is praying like the heathen. Just praying with your lips. Your heart isn't in the prayer. You're not praying with your heart and not praying from the heart. The Saviour is saying, we're not to pray like that. We're not to pray just with our lips. Notice, he says in the verse, for their much speaking. Notice the word carefully. He doesn't say for their much praying. And what I want you to realize this morning is, you can speak in prayer and not really pray. Not pray at all. Don't we talk sometimes, and we need to be careful about the things we say. We talk about saying our prayers. Well, that's what they do in the leg of the Church of Ireland. They just say their prayers. But what the Lord's looking for is more than that, men and women. The Lord wants us to pray our prayers. It's not just a ritual. Not just something that comes from the lips. We're not even thinking about what we're saying. Real prayer, men and women, is the pouring out of our hearts before the Lord at the throne of grace. And when we meet this afternoon to seek the Lord, first and foremost, that's what we need to pray for. That the Lord will touch our hearts and will pour them out before Him. Many years ago, in the early years of Mr. Paisley's ministry, the prayer meeting became a wee bit monotonous. The people came and prayed, just rambling over the same prayers and petitions and requests, and became very dead, very lifeless. He said to them one Sunday, what I'm going to do this week at the midweek meeting, I'll bring a tape recorder and I'll just record the prayer meeting in its entirety, not just the message, the prayers as well. And he said, after that, you'll not need to come back to the prayer. I'll just bring the tape recorder every week and just pray the prayers over before the Lord. It just became a ritual, brethren and sisters. Just became a ritual. Can I ask you this morning, are your prayers like that? Would we have to say our prayer meetings have got a wee bit like that? They're just the ritual. We just repeat the words, but there's no thought, there's no feeling, no meaning. There's no heart in the prayers that we bring. If that is true, men and women, we have to acknowledge today we're praying like the heathen pray. Do you remember the great text, call unto me and I will answer thee? You think of that word call. If you're outside working, somebody's way down the field, you need to get their attention and you call. You do it with all your heart. You cry out with all your might. And that's what the Lord's looking for. When he says call, he wants our whole heart. He wants us to do it with all our strength. That's how we should pray, brethren and sisters. Not with the vain repetition of the heathen. How not to pray? We're not to pray like hypocrites. And we're not to pray like heathen. Just in conclusion, just think of this. Just think of those two things that we've considered. Christians like hypocrites. Christians like heathen. Do you see how plain the Lord Jesus was in his speaking? How forthright he was in his preaching? Aren't those serious things, brethren and sisters, to think that the church could drift and decline to such a place where that those would be the marks of our lives and that those things would be the marks of our prayer meetings? We're just like hypocrites and just like heathen. And remember, the words are there. The words are there in the passage. These are the actual words of Christ himself. Do you see how far off the mark at times we can be? How far astray we can actually go in the Christian life? I say to you, just as we prepare our hearts to come to the Lord, let's just look carefully at our own life. Look carefully at your own prayer life and make sure it's not like this, men and women. Make sure your own prayer life, and if that is true, then it'll be true of the prayer life of the church, that it's not like this. Here's what the Lord Jesus says. Here's what he taught about how not to pray. And I trust the Lord will cause that this message is of great help to you today.